I want you to turn to Jeremiah. I'm going to read a couple passages for our text. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And this will be the last of a series of sermons I preached on last Sunday morning on the keepers. And then on Wednesday evening, I dealt with a wind from the wilderness and how that we need to be a windbreak for those that are facing the hot winds that the devil brings to try to bring destruction, especially among our young people. And I'm looking at something just a little different in this final sermon in this series of sermons on keepers and dealing with keepers. We all have a job to do, and don't ever feel like that your job's not important. When you're keeping what God has put in place, that's the most important job that anyone could ever have. Let's look tonight, if you will, first of all, in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 2. This is a command from the Lord to the prophet. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. And say, hear ye the word of the Lord, all ye Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Now turn back, if you will, to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5, the fifth chapter, deals with the song of Deborah, the judge Deborah. And in that warning that she gives as God has raised Deborah up as one of the judges, in chapter 5, she gives the explanation among other reasons, but one of the main reasons that she sings this song because of the fact that God has raised up these judges. There's a reason why he gave power to the judges. And they're not a judge as we think, a judge sitting on a bench. They were judges that were raised up with supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to do particular acts or deeds to let the people know that God was in control. And we need God to raise us up as well with supernatural power to let the world see in us that there is a living God, a true God. That's what makes the difference. In Judges chapter 5, let's look at verse 8. Here's the reason why the judges were raised up, sums it all up. They chose new gods. In other words, they've left the true and the living God. They no longer heed Jehovah. They've put other gods in place of Jehovah God. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? I want you to notice that phrase, the war in the gates. And also the same phrase that appears out of the first text that I read about entering into the gates to worship the Lord. The ancient cities of Jerusalem and of Israel and Jerusalem and all the other ancient cities, every one had very high walls, very thick walls. And in order to keep the enemy out and wild beast out, they would place gates strategically inside the walls of the city. Gates are mentioned all through your Bible. And gates were important because whoever controlled the gates ruled the city. And here the prophet is standing, sharing the word of God in the gates. And that's why in Judges 5 there was war at the gates, because of the significance of the gates. Gates are seen throughout your Bible, and I'm going to mention just a few things very quickly to you. The gates were to be shut at nightfall. We find that from Joshua chapter 2 and verse 5, and also again in 1 Chronicles in chapter 9. They had the obligation of shutting the gates at nightfall because the gates were the place of the chief attack of the enemy. That's why our text, Judges 5:8, the war was at the gate. That's the strategic point, because again, whoever controlled the gates ruled the city. Then when they would overthrow the gates, Oftentimes we read in Nehemiah's time, Nehemiah 1:3, that the evidence of the enemy winning was they tore down the gates and they burnt the gates, according to Nehemiah 1:3. Gates were the seat of authority, according to Ruth chapter 4 and verse 11. You remember it was there at the gates that the kinsman redeemer met to transact the transaction to redeem. And that's how important that the gates were. It was a public place, a place of authority. It was a place where wisdom was uttered. We find in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 21, we see wisdom crying out in the gates. We know that the council of the kings often took place there at the gates of the city, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 9. The prophets often proclaimed their message at the gates, not only from our text, but again in Jeremiah, we read in Jeremiah 17 verses 19 and 20, where God sent Jeremiah back to the gates to prophesy again, because that was the gathering of the people at the gates to hear it. Did you know that Nehemiah instituted something that has been in place throughout the ages of time in Jerusalem? When he rebuilt the walls and rebuilt the gates of the city, the first thing that he did in Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 2 and 3 was he commanded that the word of God was to be read at the gates. Do you understand why there's war at the gates? If that's where the word of God came, if that is where the prophecy came, if that was the place of authority, if that was the place where wisdom came, if that was the place where counsel came, if that was the place where God spoke to the people, no wonder the enemy attacked the gates, because he wanted to stop what was happening inside the gates. But there's one other thing that's important about the gates. The people, in order to worship in Jerusalem, had to pass through the gate. They had to enter through the gates with thanksgiving to get to the courts to praise the Lord. You couldn't get to the place where you praise God into the temple without passing through a gate. So if they overthrew the gate, they thought that they had stopped worship. It's just like the devil right now. He thinks he's in control of the gates. He thinks that he's in control of the church. He thinks that he has shut the church down. He thinks that he has closed the church doors. He thinks that he now has stopped the message. He thinks that through one pandemic, he has stopped the word of God. He thinks that he's stopped wisdom. He thinks, and it looks that way, because I'm telling you, people have just about lost their mind in this nation. It looks as though common sense is gone, but I've got news for the enemy. The church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is not in control. He does not have the final say. He cannot stop us with one virus. It takes more than that. They've tried to burn the church down. They've tried to kill the church off. They tried to shed the blood of the early patriarchs of the church, but they cannot stop the church. You set the church on fire and it'll rise from the ashes stronger than it's ever been before. You try to drown the church, and the church will walk on the water with the help of God. You try to bury the church, and the church will raise from the grave after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive now and forevermore. You cannot stop the church of the living God. It's point one. Point two, if the gates were so important, then the Bible emphasizes the need for gatekeepers. Somebody's got to watch the gate. If it's that important, do you think God is going to institute all of this in his word? He even administered justice at the gates. You think that he's going to put all of this in place from Deuteronomy forward and Exodus, planning out everything that was to be done for the temple, and stress the importance of the gates, and not have gatekeepers? See, there not only needs to be keepers, and there not only needs to be people that are there as a windbreak, but there needs to be gatekeepers. Now, the Bible uses a particular word for gatekeepers. A gatekeeper in the Old Testament is a word that we hear often. You read it and probably didn't even realize what it was talking about. They're called porters. A porter, literally translated, is a gatekeeper. They would appoint these gatekeepers with specific jobs. They were there to maintain order. Thank God we've got gatekeepers to maintain some order. A church without order is a church of chaos. Over the years, probably one of the worst regrets that I have in my life is the time that I have wasted being in some churches that have no order. Now, you're at liberty here to worship God, praise God, but I tell you what you're not at liberty to do, create chaos. And I have been in church services that were like a three-ring circus. And you have too. Where there's no order, it's not easy to do that. I mean, it's not easy as a pastor to have to call somebody down. But there's a reason why you don't see me open up for testimonies all the time. Because I don't know what some of y'all would say. And if it gets out of hand, somebody's got to be a gatekeeper. And it starts with here, and then if that don't work, we have people that will politely show you to the back. And well, I better stop right there. I want to stay sweet in my soul. But I've seen it just chaotic. You know, churches call in special singers. They'll call in a preacher to preach, and they'll go on for an hour and a half or 2 hours doing their routine before they ever call the singers to sing or the preacher to preach. I don't know if you're ready for preaching tonight or not, but somebody's got to maintain order. There has to be something done in decency and order in the house of God. If everybody just stood up here right now, all of you stood up all at once and started testifying at the same time or talking at the same time, and there's no order, nobody benefits from it. Order. There has to be order in the church. There has to be order in church business. There has to be order to that. And without that, that's why, you know, when we have business meetings, we come together for a business meeting, I always encourage the board. We need to pay attention to what's going on. It's not a time to get caught up on other things. We're there to take care of business. Gatekeepers have to be stationed at particular places and various locations. There's gatekeepers here tonight. We've got gatekeepers out on the parking lot. There's gatekeepers strung throughout this church. There's gatekeepers in various places. They watch the gates. Somebody said, you know, I don't know if I'm coming back to your church. I came and went to one of the doors and I was late. And the door was locked. I said, you shouldn't have been late. But they may not have been able to help it. But I said, that doesn't mean all the doors are unlocked or locked. You have to have gatekeepers. This isn't going to go over very well, but I will get it out. A gatekeeper had to be trustworthy and alert. They had to keep their eye open. It's like law enforcement. If they're not alert at all times. I remember one time I was riding with one of the folks from our church, and they were a little bit above the speed limit, not dangerous or anything like that, but they pulled them over. When they pulled them over, into the center lane. And apparently, when law enforcement checks, they know if they have concealed carry. And I watched closely. I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and I watched closely what the law enforcement officer does. The law enforcement officer comes back behind the vehicle, looking into the side view mirror, but blinded, he was blocked out by the light that he had shining on that. The occupant couldn't see in the mirror where they were at. And he politely said, "Do you have your weapon? Where's your weapon at?" See, he was alert. Would you help me preach this tonight? You can't bury your head in the sand the rest of your life and expect to win every battle. You've got to be alert. You've got to keep your eyes open to your surroundings at all times. By not being alert, somebody could get hurt. By not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you could hinder somebody from being saved or touched by the Spirit of God. You've got to be alert. A gatekeeper's trustworthy. David and Samuel appointed 212 gatekeepers. Think about that. When it came to the temple, they appointed 212 gatekeepers according to 1 Chronicles 9:22. And the reason they appointed so many is because from verses 25 through 29, really in verse 26 in particular, they tell us there were four chief porters, four categories of gatekeepers that they appointed. Actually, there were five. You ready for them? Here's what they are. The first set had the responsibility of watching over the chambers or rooms, certain rooms in the temple, and the treasuries. So they had gatekeepers to watch over the house of God. The temple had a storehouse and it had wealth as well. And when people brought their offerings, they had somebody to watch over that. I've seen churches not have gatekeepers over their money. That's a dangerous thing. Dangerous. You know, when we gather in our board meetings, the deacons, through this pandemic, we've had to make some changes, and we'll be glad when we can all meet collectively as boards again. But there's always, and I hope these gentlemen will verify, there's always a complete accounting of all of the money in the church, reviewing the entire registry. I don't know what you give. We have people, though, that oversee that. I'm not the gatekeeper of that. I don't watch over that. It's good, and you can disagree with me, it's good when a pastor don't know who's giving what, because you can never be partial to other people. You won't show favoritism to people. You'll treat all of your people the same. I don't know if you're rich and I don't know if you're poor. I just love you. And I pray God always keeps us that way. But someone has to account for that. So they're over the treasuries, over the storehouse, over the chambers. Then the second group, they were in charge of the articles used in temple service. When the articles came in, they counted it. When it went back out to its storage place, they counted it. See, those articles were sanctified and they were set apart for God's service. So they watched over them. They made sure that they were taken care of. That was God's property. And they were sacred. You didn't just replace it. They were sacred. If they were lost, they would have been lost forever perhaps. So they watched over that. The third group, they took care of the furnishings of the sanctuary along with certain items that were important, like the flour that were used, it was used in offering, spices, olive oil, other things like that. The fourth group took care of the holy anointing oil and the spices associated with it and the special oil that was used for that. Thank God for gatekeepers that says, whatever we do, let's keep a gate watched over the anointing of God, because any church that loses the anointing will lose their power in a community, and church would just become routine without gatekeepers that are there to say the most important thing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The fifth group, not mentioned in 1 Chronicles, but they were present as well, were the temple gatekeepers. They were in charge of who came in and who went out to ensure reverence and order in the house of God. So they watched over them. Ezra, at the rebuilding of the walls, he reported that he instituted in Ezra 2:42, 139 gatekeepers. because that temple was not of the glory of Solomon's temple. They didn't need as many at that point, but they made sure the gatekeepers were there. I mentioned Nehemiah earlier. When he finished rebuilding the walls, the gates around the city, gatekeepers were some of the first offices that he appointed in Nehemiah 7:1. Because here's what the Jews believed. Before any city could conduct business or conduct God's business, they had to first be protected from invaders. So they had to make sure there was security there and safety there for them to operate with peace of mind. So they were watching out. I hope we've got some gatekeepers here that'll keep the devil away. I'm not talking about keeping people away. I'm talking about keeping the devil away and praying that evil spirits will not be allowed inside the sanctuary of this church. There is a real enemy of our soul, and he wants on the inside. And we have a responsibility to say, if we're going to have the liberty of God and liberty of worship, we need gatekeepers that'll pray the devil away. Gatekeepers were part of the holy business of God. In fact, they were considered sacred according to Nehemiah 12:47, 1 Chronicles 9:26. So we need gatekeepers. Now, I've already preached longer than I planned, but let me just sum this up for the significance of gatekeepers. If I could take you back in history to the year 1453, 1453 is a significant year in history because that's the year that Constantinople collapsed, and it was the end of what was known as the Byzantine Empire. They were overthrown by the Ottoman Empire, which are also known as the Turks. The Ottoman Turks Empire overthrew them. They had been weakening through several of their leaders, and the Byzantine Empire finally had come down to the battle that determined it all. Because if Constantinople fell, that was the end of all of it. There was a leader of the Turks, Mehmet II. And Mehmet II had developed large cannons that they called, translated from Arabic, it means super cannons. These super cannons were at least 14 feet long. But at Constantinople, he used something that he had never used before. It was a gigantic cannon that was 27 feet long. It fired stone cannonballs that were 8 feet in circumference and weighed over half a ton, 1,000 pounds. When he tested these cannons, he put a warning out through the city for people to stay a long distance away from where they were going to test these cannons. Because these cannons, if you were not properly equipped, would cause you to not only be left deaf, but speechless. If a pregnant lady was too close to this monster cannon when it was fired, she would miscarry. That was the power and the force of that cannon. For days and days and days, they bombarded Constantinople. Cannonballs weighing half a ton. All these other cannons, the smallest, 14 feet in length. It was putting fear and terror inside the people there inside Constantinople. But the city didn't fall. The amazing thing is, a man by the name of Crowley wrote a book about 1453, The Holy War for Constantinople. And in that book, through history, what he had found, the city didn't fall because of a monstrous cannon. The city didn't fall because of all the days of bombardment by the Turks. No, in the last days, somebody left the gate unlocked on one wall. And in the end, the empire fell in 1453, not because of the cannonballs of the enemy. It fell from the inside of somebody not locking the gate. Can I tell you something? The heretics will not cause Rubyville Community Church to fall. The devil in and of himself doesn't have power to control the worship inside the walls of this church. There's not enough demons in hell to keep you from going to heaven if you want to go to heaven. The truth of the matter is, if this church falls, it'll fall for the same reason that denominations have fallen through the ages of history and churches have fallen. It'll be because some gatekeeper didn't do their job and keep the gate locked at night against the enemy. We do have an enemy. We know his aim. We know his allies. We know his attacks. But thanks be to God, if we keep the gate locked, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church or any church that preaches the word of God. If it falls, it'll be because some gatekeeper left the gate unlocked. It's a warning to each one of us. Shut the gate at night. When you leave here, before you go to bed, through prayer, lock the gate. In the morning, open up the gate and welcome God's sunshine in. In the day, allow the presence of God to be there. But know we've got an enemy and he's out to destroy us. I'm telling you, he's after us. I told Mike Blanton the other day, we were together for a few moments. Mike's got serious sickness right now. Mike McCoy is just recovering from COVID-19 and pneumonia. And I said, looks like the devil's out to get every one of us. I said, fellas, lock the gates. If we lock the gates, he can't get in. We're at a place in history where somebody had better be the gatekeeper and lock the gate. If you fail, hear what I'm saying. You won't have anybody else to blame but yourself. Lock the gate. Keep the gate closed against the enemy. Let him know you're not going to win this battle. We've got gatekeeper. They're going to come. They're going to sing. If you're here tonight and you feel like you're under an attack, you're here tonight and the devil's trying to tell you, let up. Now's not the time for the church to let up. Right now, let me encourage you. If you have lost loved ones, you ought to be inviting them to church. You ought to invite them out here Wednesday night if the Lord tarries is coming. You ought to let them know. You ought to let them know how important it is to know Christ as your Savior right now. Everybody's worked up over the election. I'm just wondering if Jesus is going to call us out of here before the election. Somebody has got to watch the gate. Guard the gate. Guard the gate. Guard the gate. Watch your eye gate. Watch your ear gate. Watch your mouth gate. Guard the gate. If the enemy gets in, it'll always be because in the darkest time of our life, we left the gate unlocked. Be a gatekeeper.